Thank you, Brian. Thank the Lord for that word. And let's just open with prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness towards us and for the ways you work in our lives and ways that sometimes, like Brian said, that we don't really want or anticipate, but Lord, in the end result is that you are creating your character in us and bringing us closer to yourself, and we thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just continue to pray now over this time, and I just pray for your help in sharing what you've given me, and bless each and every one of us that are hearing, Lord, and help us to hear your heart and grow closer to you and love you in a greater way and love one another, Lord. We do love you. We thank you so much for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when Joseph was doing the announcements earlier, and he said Brian and Roger, I was like, all right, I got out of this. But I guess not. So, and I have to confess that when I was asked, a couple months ago, if the Lord had something for me to share or something he's been showing me, I've been praying about it, and I'll be honest, I've been nervous. That's okay, because it just, you lean on the Lord, but I know that I can't do this without the Lord's help, and I'd learned a lesson from trying to do something, without the Lord, and I can't take this lightheartedly. I remember many years ago, I was just became a new believer, and I had the opportunity to go down to the southern part of Russia shortly after the fall of the Soviet Union, and was with a co-worker, and we met with the missionary there who just started his work, and he took us to a meeting where all these Russian believers were, and there were a lot of new believers as well as believers that had been believers for a while who had lived through the Soviet Union. And so the believers there they asked us if we could share our testimony afterwards, and they had a couple, if they wanted to ask them some questions, and we're like, okay. And so when that time came and the time for the Q&A took place, one of the questions, which I thought was so odd, one of the questions that was asked us was, how do you deal with persecution? And I was like, I was thinking to myself, well, I really, I should be asking you that question, but I felt like I needed to say something, and so, like a dummy that I am, I proceeded to say something that I had read or was secondhand from hearing others, and it wasn't living, it wasn't experientially something I had experienced and gone through. And so at the end of the time, a older sister, Russian sister, who had been through the Soviet Union and all that, she came up to me and through the missionary said, "Brother, you have no idea what you're talking about." And you know what? She was right. And I felt kind of bad, and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I probably said things I shouldn't have, wasn't beneficial to the believers. And I said, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And she was, and through the missionary, because he was interpreting, she said, it's okay, and then she proceeded to say, please pray for us in America, And I felt restored. I felt forgiven. And that's really what's on my heart. What I felt the Lord has put on my heart to share is forgiveness, and it's something that that I have gone through. That the Lord's been teaching me about some things that I've gone through. That that maybe it'd be an encouragement as I share that to you all today. Now I know that forgiveness is something that many brothers have shared over the years, and so anything I say is not going to be anything new or profound or anything like that. It's just from what the Lord has been teaching me, and that that maybe it could be beneficial to you and an encouragement. But you know, first of all, do you remember the day when you got saved and you were forgiven of your sins? Or even more recently, when you fell short and you repented and came to the Lord and he forgave you? Isn't that freeing? Isn't it liberating knowing that our sins have been covered and they're as far away as the east is from the west, you know? And he does not remember our sins anymore, which is amazing when you think about that. But you know, what the Lord's been showing me and teaching me is just as Christ forgave us, he also expects us to forgive each other. And if I have to put it this way, you know, that God wants us to forgive each other, and that he enables us to do it, you know. And if I had to give a title, because sometimes brothers give titles, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And if you would turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, that's Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So, you know, and in another verse, that I want to focus on with that is in, you know, and as you've turned to that, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32, and as you turn on that, you know, as we read these verses, I've come to see that forgiveness is not an option, you know. It's not an option. So it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to each other. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, some of these verses the Lord brought to my mind when I went through a period, a very difficult period in my life, where I felt hurt, betrayed, offended by what was done to me or what was taken from me. And I'm not talking about, you know, minor things that maybe most of us experience them on a regular basis where, you know, somebody said something to you or it didn't acknowledge you or whatever. I'm talking about things that are life-changing, very painful to deal with, things that causes deep wounds, you know. And that happened to me. And when that happened to me, not only did I not want to forgive, but I found it was very difficult to forgive, you know. My notes are all mixed up. And when you think about it, and if you go through something like that, that is very difficult to go through, if you have a hard time just forgiving once, think about what Jesus said to Peter, you know, in Matthew's gospel, in chapter 18, verse 21 through 22. He said, forgive 70 times 7, you know. And so you can see that really it's an impossible task outside of Christ, you know. And, you know, when I think about it, how many times have we, you know, sinned and wronged the Lord? How many times has he's forgiven us, you know? And in fact, if you look in Genesis, you don't have to turn to this, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 6, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So you can see that man was not only wicked, but it says in his word that he was evil continually, nonstop sinning against God. Now, you know, fast forward to today, has man gotten any better? No. Is there more sin or less sin? probably more, who knows. But thank God, he's made a provision for us, for our sins, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who took our place on the cross, and we can be forgiven of our sins. So how often has God forgiven us? More than we are ever know, you know? But for us to truly forgive others, when we're really put to the test, think about it, when you're really put to the test, we discover it's really practically impossible outside the Lord. And yet God calls us to forgive each other, because he's a loving, forgiving God, and he wants us to be like that, like him. And so for me, I was really put to that test in 2016, the year 2016. Now, I don't know if some of you might remember what happened that year to me. It was a very painful period in my life. And almost exactly 4 years to this day was when my mom was hit by and run over by a young man in a pickup truck in New York. It was Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, 4 years ago. At first, I thought it was an accident. But at my mom's funeral visitation, a couple who we did not know came to me and said, you know, we were there, we saw it happen, you know, and they explained to me what happened and how my mom died, and they said it was not an accident. And as I learned what really happened to my mom and the driving history of this young man, I became very angry, you know. Now, we all agree that he did not run over my mom on purpose, but he was careless and had a reckless disregard for life. This young man had about 11 driving violations within, I think, a three-year period. That included everything from reckless driving, speeding, drinking and driving, running through red lights, you name it, you know. And then a year later, after my mom's death, he was caught speeding and with a stolen Jeep. He had stolen a Jeep down in Maryland. And so they finally put him in jail. But I felt like, you know, justice was never really served, you know. And so during this time, the anger and bitterness was really welling up in my heart. And so the Lord began to deal with my heart. And as I mentioned earlier, I did not want to forgive, nor could I. And so the Lord kept on probing me about it. And so I finally took it to the Lord and began to pray and said, Lord, I can't. I just can't. I don't even want to forgive this, because it caused so much pain for my mom to die the way she did, knowing how this guy and all the things he's been doing prior to that, you know. But I was already starting to take another matter before the Lord before that even happened. And that happened a couple months earlier. You know, when the world does something to you, you can kind of say, okay, that's the world. What do you expect, right? And then sometimes that's easier to deal with than when a brother or sister offends you. And when a brother or sister, a believer, wrongs you, it can be very painful. You can feel betrayed. And that's how I felt about a matter that also took place in early 2016 with a couple of believers I knew. Now, none of you will know any of these believers. All I can say is that these believers gave us their word about a matter, but never really intended to keep it. These were believers; they were in high position of ministry, who misled us, and I could not understand, and I felt so betrayed, and it affected everything in my life, in every way at that time, and so in my anger and confusion, I felt the Lord was probing me to forgive them and this young man who took my mother's life. And at some point, with much tears and dealings with the Lord, I was finally willing to forgive. But I was like, Lord, I'll forgive, but on my terms. I said, if they come asking for forgiveness, you know, I'll forgive them. And so, I discovered that's not the Lord's way, you know. The Lord helped me realize that my heart was not in the right place, and he wanted me to set me free from the anger and bitterness and conform me to Christ, you know. And, you know, for the first time in my life, I really saw how the Lord forgives those who don't even seek his forgiveness. And now, if they never repent of their sins and they don't accept his forgiveness, they bring upon themselves the consequences of their decision and forfeit the Lord's saving grace. But, you know, the Lord's desire is to save all men. And even while he hung on the cross, he forgave those who put him there. So if you would just turn to Luke chapter 23, we're all familiar with this, but I just want us to read it again. Chapter 23, verse 33 through 34. Verses 33 through 34. And when they came to the place called a skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one to his right and the other to the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. After all that they had done to him, even at that very moment, among wicked and unrepentant men, Jesus forgave them. And in a sense, he was forgiving us, you know? And also, you don't have to turn to this, but you're all familiar with this. In the same way with Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, as they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. In a sense, he was forgiving them, you know. The Lord showed me that I must forgive the way he forgives. He forgave me before I repented. In other words, forgiveness is not based on others' actions, but on our heart attitude. For us as believers, if forgiveness has not already taken place within our heart, then forgiving someone when they actually come seeking forgiveness will be difficult, because we're still bound by what was done to us, if that makes sense. Now, when should we forgive? If you look at the examples of Jesus on the cross and Stephen being stoned, it seems pretty immediate, you know? At the very least, God tells us in his word in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 through 7, chapter 4, verse 26 through 27, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. You know, so it seems to me that from this verse that we should not let the day go end with anger in our hearts, you know, at the very least. The Lord wants us to deal with it immediately, quickly, by taking it back to him. Otherwise, bitterness will take root and give Satan a foothold to do his schemes in and among us, and then we might end up more unwilling to forgive later on. And that's what was happening to me, you know. But thank the Lord, like Brian said earlier, for his faithfulness to keep after us, you know. He keeps after me, all of us, when we're not in line with his heart, you know. And so, as I was asking the Lord to change my heart, asking him to help me to forgive, he did begin to change my heart. I found myself praying for these believers and for this young man, especially for this young man. The Lord caused me to have a compassion for him. I felt bad for him, you know, and I began to pray for his salvation, you know, and I prayed that out of my mom's death that something good could come out, life, in this young man who's so lost. So lost, you know, and that was a change that the Lord did in me. It's not anything I did; it was all the Lord. And I also discovered that, in the process, as I went to the Lord, the focus became on him instead of me. You know what I mean? As long as there was unforgiveness in my heart, I would constantly think about my feelings, my emotions, my pain. But when I went to him seeking his help and changing my heart, my focus was on him. And it took me away from these other things that would just hinder and make me ineffectual for the Lord. So with all that in mind, the Lord just wants us to come to him with our hurts, disappointments, and anger, whatever, and give it to him. And praise the Lord, he's able to do what man cannot do. And so when we come to him, sometimes we all, you know, we discover there's something else that's going on too, that makes forgiving someone difficult. Things that have to do more with wanting something else, or pride, or some other fruit of the flesh that is demanding an apology because of who we think we are. I was falling into that trap. But, you know, and you would think I've learned my lesson by now, you know, but the Lord knew I needed to learn some more. That same year, I had 3 car accidents. Actually, Kathy said to me, you had another one, you had 4. But I can't remember exactly when that happened that year, and that was kind of minor one. But the first one was that I want to talk about is the one I was driving on I-95. I was behind a truck when suddenly this metal object came flying out and hit the passenger side of that door, frame side, and put a huge dent in it. Another few feet over to the left, it would have hit me, you know. So obviously I took it to the repair shop, paid my $500 deductible, and had it repaired. And then shortly, a few weeks or months after that, I was driving on Providence Road when suddenly this huge dog just bolted out in front of me. I could not avoid him. There was nothing I could do. Somehow that dog survived. I hit him and he, you know, hit the ground and took off, ran away. But I stopped and I look at my front end of my car. It's all smashed in, you know. You know, these cheap little bumpers now that they build, you know. So I paid my another $500 deductible and had it repaired. And then shortly after that, I was driving on the downtown expressway near the toll booth when suddenly this young lady in her car, I guess she didn't have the easy pass, cut right in front of me. There was nothing I could do about it. So, you know, once again, my front end of my car was smashed in. I wasn't offended or anything like that by what happened with those accidents, but this lady, the car accident did make me think about my mom, you know, and you can see it, none of these were really my fault, but it just happened and stuff, you know, so I know this is all kind of sound comical, you know, and I think Kathy was probably wondering what's wrong with his driving abilities, you know. So I ended up going to court for this last accident, and she didn't show up. And I learned that she also had various driving violations, you know. And so, I got to pay another $500 deductible to get that repaired. But because she didn't show up and all this stuff, I was starting to kind of like, okay, Lord, I've had about enough of this, you know. I want to be compensated for this, you know. And the judge ruled in my favor, and so my insurance company and her insurance company could not locate her, and so then a collection agency called, and I said, yes, let's try to find her, you know, and get compensated and stuff. So, and after, I don't know how long it was, but I was determined to find her and recoup my expenses for all this. And then at some point the Lord said, stop it, let it go, you know? And this verse that he brought to my mind is a verse we just read maybe in our last Friday night meeting or a couple weeks ago. He brought this verse to my mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be cheated? And so I also thought about the parable of the unmerciful servant that Jesus talked about in Matthew's gospel, if you're familiar with that. And so the Lord reminded me how merciful he was to me in these events, and he wanted me to be merciful to her, you know. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. And he changed my heart again, and I was able to forgive because of his work and move on and get past it. But, you know, I still struggle from time to time with what happened with my mom and those believers who misled me. And when I would think about it and dwell on it, I would get all stirred up and angry again. And then the Lord reminded me of what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And when I would do that and turn to him, his perspective and his love would take over instead of my emotion, anger, and bitterness. But still, I could not help but think about it at times. There would be triggers and reminders and things like that that would bring back the memories of what happened to my mom and the interaction I had with these believers. And you know, I don't think you ever completely forget about those painful moments in your life. Wounds do eventually heal, but they leave scars. Jesus will always have his nail-scarred hands, and yet he loves us like no other. And again, only he, because he is such a loving God who can forgive and not hold anything against us, only he can change our hearts, even with these sort of things, and heal them. And then I remember reading about Corrie Ten Boom. Now, I don't know if any of you are familiar with her, but she's a dear sister who, during the Nazi occupation in Holland, during World War II, she and her family helped the Jews. And eventually she and her family were caught, and she and her sister were sent to a concentration camp where her sister died. She also struggled with forgiveness until the Lord did his miraculous work in her. But even after that, she talked about how she too struggled and wrestled with the memories and thoughts of what the Nazis did. And not only what the Nazis did, but also how some Christians let her down. And so in one of her devotionals to a magazine Guidepost, many years ago, she shared how the Lord helped her through those difficult periods in her life, which has also been helpful to me. I just want to read a small portion of what she wrote about in that devotional and how the Lord helped her with those bad memories and thoughts. She says here, after praying many days for the Lord's help, she wrote this: His help came in the form of a kindly Lutheran pastor to whom I confessed my failure after 2 sleepless weeks. Up in that church tower, he said, nodding out the window, is a bell which is rung by pulling on a rope. But you know what? After the sexton lets go of the rope, the bell keeps on swinging. First ding, then dong, slower and slower until there's a final ding and it stops. I believe the same thing is true of forgiveness. When we forgive someone, we take our hand off the rope. But if we have been tugging at our grievances for a long time, we mustn't be surprised if the old angry thoughts keep coming for a while. They're just the ding-dongs of the old bell slowing down. And so it proved to be. There were a few more midnight reverberations, a couple of dings when the subject came up in my conversation. But the force, which was my willingness in the matter, had gone out of them. They came less and less often, and at last stopped altogether. And so I discovered another secret of forgiveness, that we can trust God not only above our emotions, but also above our thoughts. I thought that was really encouraging to me as I had struggled with some of that. And it's neat how the Lord meets us where we're at and changes and takes us from a defeated type of thing, because we're coming out of business, to victory, where we exercise our faith and go to him. And you know, when I think of somebody that lived in victory despite all that was done to him, I think of Joseph. I think Joseph exemplified the biblical principle of forgiveness. Now, you all know the story of Joseph, how his brothers were jealous of him, and they put him in a well. They wanted to kill him, and then they decided to sell him to some slave traders who then took Joseph down to Egypt. And then Joseph became a slave to Potiphar's house and then was wrongly accused of attempted rape and then ended up in a dungeon for at least 2 or 3 years. I don't know how many years exactly. Think about what that must have been like for Joseph. You know, could you imagine if your family did something like that to you? You know? Sometimes we think it, we hear the story, but Joseph is just like us, you know? And so, it probably was very painful to Joseph because he loved his family so much. But somehow, through the Lord's work in him, he arose above his anger and pain to forgive his brothers for all that they had done to him. And then, as you know, Joseph rose to the second highest rank in all of Egypt, and then eventually saw his brothers again when they came down to buy food. And when Joseph finally revealed himself to them, it says that he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him. I think he wept so much because he was so full of love, you know, and the Lord did such a work in him. And I think Joseph was so glad that the forgiveness he had in his heart for his brothers could now be openly displayed, you know? It would be so neat if I could meet that young man, you know, and see him turn to the Lord and be able to hug him and say that I forgive you, you know? And I think Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus himself, of how he loves us so much and how he has forgiven us and restored us to himself. You know, brothers and sisters, there's so much about forgiveness that is beyond what I know, understand, or could possibly share or talk about. I think all I did today is just scratch the surface of what forgiveness is. It's like trying to see how deep and wide God's love is for us. It's measureless. In fact, I was thinking about that song this morning before I even sang that song, Glenn. You can't fully explain it, you know? And I believe forgiveness is like that in a way. In fact, forgiveness and love go hand in hand. Forgiveness rests on love. And so as I was preparing for this time, I was asking the Lord, why do you want me to talk about forgiveness? Because it's so big, it's so vast, I can't really explain it all, you know? We could talk for another hour. You can all share for an hour. But I felt like the Lord, the only thing I felt the Lord give me in answer to that question was out of Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. The love of many will grow cold because of the increase of wickedness. And you know, when love grows cold, it disappears. And when it disappears, when it's gone, you'll not find forgiveness there either, you know. As it states in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. Note the words, without love, unforgiving. I think as the days get darker, there will be more resentment and less unforgiving. And so, you know, I feel like what the Lord wants me to know and us to know is that we need to guard our hearts, you know. We need to stay in love with the Lord and go to him and keep loving each other so that when we sin or when someone sins against us, we can forgive by his mercy and grace, you know. And then healing and restoration is the end result of that. Sometimes I wonder how many times I must have offended a brother or sister, and how many times they must have forgiven me. And I would think that they have a very similar testimony to give. But think about those Russian believers I talked about earlier who were persecuted during the days of the Soviet Union. You know, I think they faced things that I have absolutely no idea what they went through. But, you know, many of them forgave their persecutors, you know. They forgave their persecutors. And as a end result of that, not only did it bring glory to the Lord, but it brought many unsaved Russians into his kingdom because they saw the testimony of Jesus. They saw something that no man could do, only God can do, and men and women given to the Lord. And so I hope what I share today is an encouragement to you and what God can do and through us in the area of forgiveness. If we come to him, he can enable us to forgive. We can't, but he can, and when we give it to him and ask him for his help. So let's pray. Lord, I just come to you and just commit everything I just shared, and just pray that, Lord, what it was of you, you would help us to chew on that and remember it and learn from what you're saying, Lord, and know your heart and mind in a greater, deeper way, that we might become more like you. Lord, thank you so much for forgiving us of our sins. Help us to love one another and forgive each other when we falter and fail. Lord, thank you that you can do that in us. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.